Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we talk the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football, from the latest signings to this year's breakout star and all of the news in between. Thank you for joining us again. I am Alex.
And I'm Jeremiah.
And we're back again with the news of the week. We're going to talk about RG3 this week. We're going to talk about the new Madden cover.
Yes.
Cover Athlete, yes. And some of our favorite Maddens, going back all the way to 2000 when Athlete started being featured on the cover. And the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
Big news. Big news.
Getting a official home.
Yes.
Which we'll get into.
Big news.
Let's start with RG3. We're going to have a discussion today pretty much about RG3. What we think his season's going to look like a little bit, if he's kind of a stopgap kind of guy, if he's going to be the guy for the Browns this year, is he going to be somebody that can take them to, you know, maybe close to a winning record this year? Is he going to be, or is he going to flame out again? So I'll take your thoughts first on that. What do you think we're going to get from RG3 this year? What kind of year we think we're going to get?
I really hope he becomes successful, man. He has too much potential to not start in this league. Too much. And I think if he doesn't solidify himself this year with the Browns, I think his starting days are done. He's only 26 years old, so he's still young enough to compete in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think given the right situation, then he's in a good spot. But there's not a lot. He doesn't have a lot of team around him there in Cleveland, which is a big downside.
Well, they did draft like five receivers, you know, Corey Coleman. And I know Josh Gordon suspended still, but
yeah, he won't be able to appeal again until August.
Yeah, but if he happens to come back, that's a big win for them.
Former Baylor guy.
Yeah, former Baylor guy, yeah, exactly. So the three Baylor guys on that offense, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the O-line is not what it was. They lost Alex Mack. They lost.
Huge loss.
I forget the other player they lost. Their center also, unless Alex Mack's the center.
I thought Alex Mack was the center.
Yeah, and he went to the Falcons. So I'm thinking the guard, but I forget. They still have Joe Thomas, who is, you know, and oftentimes referred to as the best left tackle in the game. So, I mean, you have something guard in the blind spot. But, you know, Joel Bitonio, good right guard there. Young guy, he's a rookie last year. But they don't have that offensive line they did last year. They don't have it. So that was a problem with him in Cleveland. I'm sorry, in Washington. But that wasn't always the issue. He would run. You know, he made something out of nothing, which was kind of his thing. But, you know, he doesn't really have a premier tight end like they did when they had Jordan Cameron a couple years ago. He doesn't have Josh Gordon. You know, he doesn't have a great defense that's going to give him the ball back in a short field. So not great running backs. So it's going to be tough. I mean, if anything, he has less of a team walking into Washington his rookie year. It's going to be hard for him. What do you think?
I agree. It's going to be hard for him. But like I said, he has too much potential to not start. But like I said, also, if he doesn't solidify himself as a starting quarterback this season, then I think his starting days are done, which is kind of unfair because there's not a good team. It's actually a worst team he's ever had.
Yeah, I think
it's the worst team he's ever played on. I'm not talking about because it's the Browns. I'm saying because of
the quality, the
team around him.
I don't know. I think there's situations where maybe he didn't start. There's obviously a young guy behind him and a more, you know, established Brown with McCown if he stays on the team. But I think there's situations where he could end up not starting all the time and still hopefully, you know, find a starting position. He's still a second overall pick, so you bring him in with the ability to eventually be a starter. But I agree with you. Eventually, he's going to stop getting the benefit of the doubt, the options, and he's going to have to be a backup. So I'm hoping. I like RG3. You know, he's a cool kid. He seems like a nice guy other than what kind of came out about him being kind of abrasive and stuff in Washington and kind of going behind Shanahan's back and stuff.
With the ego, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, he seems like a good dude. He seems like he's a smart guy. He seems like he gets it. So hopefully, you know, this is a good year for him. I mean, not hopefully in the win column, being a fan of a fellow AFC North team, but hopefully he gets it headed in the right direction. You know?
Yeah. And reports have saying that Josh McCown has taken first team reps so far.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. You have a rookie and you have a guy who's new to the offense. I think that it's just football. You know, Josh McCown's been there for like 3 years now.
And it's May, so it's still early.
Yeah,
so.
But I have heard that RG3 has been very impressive.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've seen that, yeah. I've been reading that a lot.
He's looked crisp. His balls have been, his throws have been nice. He's been impressive so far. So I've heard good things. I've also heard good things about Kessler. So, you know, it's hard, especially, you know, in May to look at that as a factor. But, no, I agree. McCown taking the snaps just shows you that it's from this base right now.
It's a competition.
It's a competition. It's a competition. Yeah, and anybody can start. He said don't rule Kessler even out, so.
Yeah, and I like Kessler. I'm a huge Kessler fan.
Yeah, before my I'm a Washington State fan. Before my brother ended up going to Washington State, I was a – that's where my brother went to college.
Yeah.
And being twins, I kind of – you know, I went to a music school. I lived, you know, college through him sort of. So football-wise, that's who I really like. I still like him. But before, you know, when I was a kid, I liked USC a lot. You know, liked Leinart, liked Sanchez, liked Barkley.
Reggie Bush.
I mean the quarterbacks. I'm a quarterback. I like quarterbacks a lot.
I like watching a lot of college running backs. They're exciting to watch in college.
Yeah, they are. Oh yeah, Bush was very exciting.
Oh, he was.
But I still keep an eye on them, even though I'm not really for if they're going to do well or not. You know, but I keep an eye on them quarterback wise. You know, it's a very prestigious position, quarterback for the Trojans. You know.
Well, not only that, a lot of them kind of haven't had success, unless you look at Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I like Palmer too.
Palmer's probably the only one that still has success. Mark Sanchez.
Hey, he's going to start for the Super Bowl champion this year.
Yeah, but you know, butt fumble. Can't forget that. I'm sorry. You can't let that go.
I can. That team was miserable.
It was. It was so bad. It was ugly.
But to not get too far away from the point, Kessler, I liked some stuff he did there in Pasadena, and I think he, you know, maybe he's got a. You know, with Hugh Jackson, I don't rule any quarterback out.
Exactly.
Jason Campbell played well. Yeah,
he did. Yeah,
Hugh
he did. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
so, with multiple times with the Raiders and on the Bengals, not last year but the year before that, he was the backup. And you know, Jason Campbell's actually going to unretire. He said, if you want him to be on your team, just let his agent know.
Yeah.
And he'll come try out for you guys. He took the year off last year to be with his family, I think, which is I find becoming more common with. Players
getting near the end of their career. It's becoming the trend lately.
Yeah, they're debating if they want to fully retire, so they spend the season off.
Which I kind of get, you know.
BJ Raji's doing it this year.
Yeah, which I kind of get because all the stuff emerging with, you know, the CTE and all that.
Yeah,
you know
you got to think about long-term before it's too late, too. A lot of these guys, they spend so much time in the early 20s and mid-20s. By the time they get to 32, they're starting a family maybe.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they still have, you know, you're 32 years old. You look at that as football years, and you're like, oh, he's getting near the end of his career. Well, he might be starting his family not long before that, so he's got young kids at home, you know? So it's making sense.
A lot of players in their mid-20s are also starting. They actually already start families in their mid to late 20s also.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm saying there are guys that might still have young kids, so they want to spend time with their kids.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I forget who that was that said that. He retired a couple of years ago, and he was saying, you know, I'm having fun spending time with my kids. I know James Harrison.
Yeah.
He's a little older. I think he's getting like 36, 37.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
He has young kids. You know, he's got kids that are, I think the oldest one might be, if in high school, as a freshman, you know, like they're young kids still. He's like, I like hanging out with my kids, you know, but a much deeper voice. But, I not to get too far ahead, Jason Campbell, go get him.
Yeah, he's a good backup, but he can.
But the point is with him. You know, who knows with Hugh Jackson?
Like, Hugh Jackson's a quarterback guy.
You can have three quarterbacks this year that might be playing at around the same level with one another.
Yeah.
That because Hugh Jackson turned Andy Dalton from a mid-range guy to an elite quarterback.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's a very underrated offensive coach. He's not talked about a lot as a quarterback.
I think he got the bad rap a little bit with the Raiders.
Yeah,
he took over for Tom Cable, I think.
Yeah, he did.
And, I mean, he won some good games. He won that first game after Al Davis died.
Yeah.
And Al Davis kind of gave him a start, so he was, you know, really grateful for that. I think, he was the running backs coach behind Gruden in Cincinnati. And then he took over when Gruden went to the Redskins. And, he's got a great mind for offense.
Oh, yeah, he's a great offensive mind. Yeah.
But I'm interested to see what he can do with
RG3.
I'm really interested to see what he can do with RG3.
That's why I said I think this could be really good for RG3 and the Browns, because the Browns signed him on a 2-year deal.
Yes.
It's a low-risk, high-reward type of move.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't work out, then, no, they didn't spend a lot of money on it. I think they're only paying, like, 3% of the salary cap.
Let's put it this way. They didn't give up four top
Yeah, exactly.
So I am super interested.
And they traded for a lot of picks this year in the draft.
Yeah,
which is something I think the Redskins. So I think they're built very well. So, mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break and a word from our sponsors here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And we'll be right back with some more news. And thank you for joining us again at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. We are back with some more news. Jeremiah, go ahead and get our next topic going.
Yeah, the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced last week that it will create a permanent home for the Black College Football Hall of Fame on its campus in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, that's great. That's really awesome.
Big news.
Yeah, that's awesome. They never really had a designated home for the Black College Football Hall of Fame. So I'm super, super psyched about that. That's awesome. I mean, football should be looked at as a historic thing in and of itself with the Canton Hall of Fame, but you can't ignore something like that has brought so many stars to the NFL and that have extended the NFL the way, you know, to what we know it today. So I think it's only good. It can only bring good things. You know, you have a lot of great history and a lot of great football stars that would be featured in that.
Okay, in case any of you guys don't know what the Black Football Hall of Fame is, there's actually College Football Hall of Fame. It's actually a lot deeper than it actually sounds.
Yeah.
It honors players and coaches from historically Black colleges and universities. So, you know, like Jerry Rice, he played at
Mississippi State.
You know, Doug Williams, who founded the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, love Doug Williams.
Yeah, he played at Grambling.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys that came. I mean, you have guys that played at colleges that weren't necessarily historically Black colleges, but in the area they were heavy Black colleges. You know, Ernie Davis, guys like Jim Brown coming out. That played on, you know, heavy areas that were just populated like that, and you know those guys. It's almost just like it's like if nothing from Jackie Robinson's career up until he joined the Dodgers was relevant.
Yeah,
and now it is. It's the same kind of thing. Bringing this into what, it, in my opinion, is the best sports Hall of Fame collection there is. You know, like. Cooperstown seems really cool, but I've always wanted to go to the Canton, Ohio, and see the NFL Hall of Fame. That's like bucket list.
Yeah,
that's like
I'll love 3. To go watch the Hall of Fame game too.
My dad got to go to that in like 2008. I was so upset.
Wow,
I was
he didn't take you? Oh no, man.
Well, he got our buddy down the street. Well, my dad, we're family friends. Like his son's like my little brother, and they're family friends of ours. Like I play in a fantasy football league with them every year. My parents, my brother, my sister, my brother in law, me, and then the dad and his son. But he's a banker, so he makes pretty good money. But they went 1 year. It was the Redskins and somebody else, and our other family friend is a diehard Redskins fan. His dad used to have season tickets. He grew up in the Capitol and everything. His dad worked for, like, the UN. But it was that, and then my dad kind of liked the Redskins for the most part just because he went to a couple games with our friend that has those season tickets, and he wanted to go. And so it was something cool for him. I forget who got inducted that year. I think it might have been Marshall Faulk's year. But I was so jealous. So jealous. That's definitely something on my bucket list that I want to do before I can't do it anymore. You know, that's something I would do it right now if I could. Like, I love 3 places in my life to go to that at any point. Like, if I just snap my fingers and go, Disneyland.
You never been to Disneyland?
No, I have. But if three places that I could just snap my fingers and go, Disneyland, Pittsburgh Steelers football game, Canton, Ohio.
You never been to a Steelers game either?
I've been to a Raiders Steelers game and a Niners Steelers game.
Oh, but you want to go to Heinz Field?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
I went to the Monday Night Football game when the lights went out.
Oh, at the Cattlestick. Yeah, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I was at that game, and then I went to the Raiders Steelers game from 2014, the game that Terrell Pryor had the 98-yard
quarterback
read option run touchdown.
Oh run, yeah. You were there for that
first play. I called it too. Me and my buddy Ricardo. He's a diehard Raider fan. He's one of my best friends. His little brother, Esteban, who's also a very good friend of mine. We were sat next to each other, and we were looking at it, and he knows a lot of football, too. So we're looking at the formation, and it's, you know, like 3 wide or whatever, quarterback shotgun. And I'm like, he could totally run it. I knew then our defense wasn't fast enough really to stop those running quarterbacks. It had been a thing for us for years. And I'm sitting there, and he goes, like, they can run the ball. He's like, yeah, right. I'm like, read option. As soon as it happened, I was like, oh, God. You know, that game was it was a fun game to go to. They ended up losing, but.
Yeah, they lost that game.
They lost by 5. Sean Sweezy missed 2 field goals, 6 points, would have won the game. His only 2 misses all year.
Wow. Against the Raiders. Wow.
Yeah. Last year was a good game, too. But I digress. Move back to the College Football Hall of Fame. Is that someplace you would want to go? Like you
the College about? Hall of Fame or the
well, now it's,
well,
now
well,
it's
the Hall of Fame or the Black College Football Hall of Fame. Both. I would love to go to Hall of Fame.
I'd love to go to both now, obviously.
I would love to go to, I would love to go to Cooperstown too.
I would, and I'm not saying I wouldn't. I love the idea of Cooperstown. There's a lot. I mean, baseball is a longer. In the sense of Major League Baseball, it's a long,
it's a longer history. Yeah, a long history, yes.
It's a longer history in that sense, being that NFL history is really only counted from 1979, even though they include AFL, NFL, you know, before the merger years, it's included. You know, Jim Thorpe is widely considered as one of the greatest football players of all time, even though he never played in a structured NFL against structured NFL talent, yet he's in the Hall of Fame because of his contributions to what the game became, you know? So I would love to see both, but with how much of a football guy I am when it comes to the history of football and all that stuff, I would, oh man, I would die going to this place.
Oh, wow. All
right. Because think about it. Being a Steeler fan, I don't mean this in any, you know, disrespect to any other team. They kind of dominate the Hall of Fame in a way. You know, it's 6 Super Bowls, countless Hall of Famers, especially from the 70s, the Niners too, the Cowboys. Yeah. All those teams are teams of the decade, the Packers, the Steelers, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Patriots. Not so much a Patriots yet, but when they all continue being voted, now that the years have passed, like they just have so much stuff, you know, and then all the stuff from the different Super Bowls and the single game achievements things. It's like they put like that's one cool thing that differs about the Football Hall of Fame and the Baseball Hall of Fame is that one cool thing is like Hunter Pence hit his 200th home run a couple nights ago. They got his glove, the bat too, I think, because I think he kept the ball. And they put him in Cooperstown. You know, they have single game achievements.
And yeah, they have a lot of no hitters there too. Like
yeah, they have the ball or the glove or maybe the hat, stuff that the pitchers are willing to give up. They don't necessarily have the same thing for football. They do have jerseys and cleats and stuff, things like that. Balls from games. You know, one thing I can think of is the football from the what's his name, Jacoby Jones.
Yeah.
From the return in the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
The 108-yard
the ones against the Niners a couple
years ago.
Yeah,
he has that football there. They have the football from the wide left, Bills, Giants Super Bowl in 1990. A lot of cool stuff, you know, but not quite the same as, you know, because they'll go, like literally, it's 200th home run.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds' 756th home run ball, I think, is in there.
Yeah, well, it should be.
I think he really wanted it.
Yeah. Well,
but it's either that or the bat. Something to commemorate it, obviously, is. But then they might end up taking it out, so who knows?
We're not talking about that.
That's not what this podcast is about.
Okay. All right, sorry to get off on a tangent there, but that...
well, that was relevant.
Yeah, you know. Well...
But is that someplace you would want
to
visit?
What, Football Hall of Fame? Yeah. I would love to go to the Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. I would love to, you know? Yeah, and I would definitely love to see this Black College
I actually really would want to see it. And yeah, something else I want to point out about the Black College Football Hall of Fame is that the Hall of Fame and the Black College Football Hall of Fame, both organizations, they're partnering to create an exhibit, a Black College Football Hall of Fame exhibit for display in Canton this year. So you can.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So
for the Hall of Fame game later in August.
Yeah. And then And I think starting in 2017, they're going to have a Hall of Fame game with historically Black colleges and universities. So it's going to be two Black colleges playing a Hall of Fame game.
I think.
Apart from the NFL one. So it's a different Hall of Fame game.
Separate, yeah. I mean, they have high school games and college games kind of throughout the weekend there, because obviously the Hall of Fame game itself is on Sunday. But that's really cool. You know what I mean? I'm like that. All it does is make me more excited for the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't mean to say it in such a brash way, but there's a lot of really important.
Yeah, there's a lot of important history also because
they're very relevant history.
Yeah, because a lot of. Players, they couldn't play in some institutions.
Some couldn't even get to go to college.
Yeah, some couldn't. And this is the only way they can go.
Do you know who the season leader in interceptions in one NFL season is?
I do not.
His name is Dick Night Train Lane.
Oh, Night Train
I told
Train
you about
Lane.
This guy.
Yes,
Dick Night Train Lane. He didn't get to even go to college, and I feel like he would be somebody that. I mean, I know he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
he had 14 interceptions in 1 year. 14. It's insane.
And
they called him Night Train because he was afraid to fly, so he'd take night trains, nighttime trains to
the
games.
That's a Night Train Lane, yeah.
And then he had the move called the Neck Train Necktie, because it wasn't illegal to hit you up by your head back then, so he'd, like, wrap his arm around you. He'd really get you. But he would be somebody that's totally featured in that, I would assume. Even though he didn't get to play a legitimate college football. But I'm super excited.
Yeah, I am too.
We're going to take one more quick break here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, and we'll come right back to you guys with the news on the Madden 17 cover athlete. Be right back. And we're back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast with our last bit of news for you today. Madden 17 cover athlete of 2016. It's always confusing.
Yeah.
The 2016 year Madden 17 cover athlete is Rob Gronkowski, which, I mean, rightfully so. They used to have the voting the last couple of years to vote, you know, your favorite player onto the Madden cover, and he's been very close the last few years anyway. But
yeah, he almost won it last year.
He got beat out by Sherman the year before that.
Did he? Yeah.
I think Odell Beckham Jr. was pretty unanimous almost in a sense. But, yeah, he got beat up by Sherman. I think he finished second. I think I remember they announced it on Sports Nation or whatever, and they're both there. But I don't know. I mean, I like Gronkowski. I mean, that's fine. The album cover. I mean, it's not album cover.
Mixtape covered up?
Yeah. The game cover, I mean, they usually pick some kind of in the act, like movement, you know, catching the ball, running the ball, tackling, whatever. It's usually in some kind of form of that, and it's him spiking the ball, which he's known for, but that made us think about some of our favorite Maddens in the past, and like I mentioned earlier in the show, 2000 is when they, obviously 1990 or 91 is when they started Madden, and up until 1999 being the last that they only had. They just had Madden up until 95, and then from 95 to 2000, the year before 2000, it had John Madden's face on it. Except for 1999 had John Madden and, like, an out-of-focus Barry Sanders, and he retired that year, which is really
funny. Not only that, I think there was a couple of alternate covers, I think, for Madden 99, 98, I think.
Yeah, I think the alternate was the one that added Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
After he decided to retire. But starting in 2000, they have had 17 years of an NFL athlete. This will be the 17th version of the game. So let's talk about some of our favorite ones. We talked about this the day before. We talked about this on Monday.
A couple days ago, yeah.
What's your favorite Madden?
Of all time?
Of all time. And it doesn't have to be favorite Madden cover athlete because that's my next question. Yeah. What's your favorite game? Because you know I love Madden.
I love Madden.
I have every Madden since Madden 2000. Too.
Are you kidding me? That was like the only game I grew up playing.
Well, I don't play very many games other than sports games.
Yeah.
And Madden's pretty. I'm probably going to go home and play Madden today.
Wow, you got a problem, my friend. I'm kidding.
The only problem I have is I have to wait till August for the new one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. But yeah, let me ask you first your favorite Madden game.
My favorite Madden game is 2005 with Ray Lewis, dude.
Bring back the hit stick 2.0.
I still think it's the best Madden game ever.
Excuse me. Some great players in that Madden,
too. Exactly, that too, yeah.
Peyton, Ray Lewis, Brady on the height of their powers.
Yeah, in the prime.
Brett Favre. You had there's always guys I would love to play with that, like, I'd put on my team that just weren't that great. Sage Rosenfels in Madden 11. Trent Green when he was still a backup. Kurt Warner still in that game. Great players. So that's your favorite Madden. Who's your favorite Madden cover athlete? Because remember in 99 they had Garrison Hurst.
Yeah, as one of the, they did.
And knowing you're a Niner fan, that might be. Even though the Steelers have had Paul Molitor, I don't like that Madden cover. I don't like that they chose two people. But Madden favorite cover athlete.
That's a hard one to decide because there's so many great athletes. I have to say, Michael Vick.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Michael Vick is probably the best video game player of all time. That was a good Madden too. That was a good Madden with him on the cover.
Yeah, he was one of the.
He was ruthless on that game.
He was insane. He had like 98 speed.
Yes, he was.
He could
ruthless.
Throw the ball across the entire field. He
was like a cheat code.
Yeah, it was like a creative player.
Yeah,
it really was.
He was the most unfair player. Like, he was the player that everyone wanted to play with. And I was a huge Michael Vick fan growing up.
It's like playing Tecmo Bowl with Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, yes.
You just run in angles and nobody can catch you. It's insane.
Yeah.
Let's see. My favorite Madden cover athlete. Excuse me. Sorry. It's allergy season. My favorite Madden cover athlete probably, and it's not even a literal favorite, I would say probably Vince Young. Because I remember playing Madden 08.
That's my second
so
favorite.
So much. I played that game more than any other Madden game, and I play these games nonstop. So it's not like I don't play them as often as I used to. I still play them nonstop. That's when my brother would still play with me all the time, like on PlayStation 2. Like, we always played that version. My favorite Madden game? That's tough because every year I like more than the last, because I'm big on re-upping the new players and everything. So I guess I should pick it as my favorite Madden would probably be the assortment of people I like playing with most. Jeff Garcia is someone I always played with.
Yeah. Definitely in the early days, yeah.
I would say probably around 2006 with Donovan McNabb on the cover, maybe even Vince Young. That might be one of my favorite games because I played it so much. You know what I mean? I just, the people on that game, I would do create a team. I would have the best person at each position on my team, and I would have the best quarterback, a really good mid-range quarterback, Jeff Garcia, and like a rookie or something. And I loved it, dude. It was so much fun. I spent hours doing that. I mean, I played a lot outside. Like, I played a lot outside. Like, I wasn't one of those kids that just played inside. But I did devote a lot of time to football.
Yeah, during the early 2000s, I think from 02, Madden 02, Madden 03, 04, that was the years I used to play, you know, because I am a Niner fan. Yeah. And I used to play. That's when Jeff Garcia and Terrell Owens were they were really good. So I used to play with that. The fact that Terrell Owens was in his prime during those games, I loved it. But
you catch those last few Madden years that Steve Young was on the Niners still.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty great. And like I said, 05 was my favorite Madden, and my second favorite was 04 with Michael Vick.
Okay.
Yeah, but I want to ask you, who is the worst cover athlete?
Peyton Hillis.
Oh, yeah, Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis, yes. Only because it turned out to be the worst Madden
player ever.
Like, not the worst Madden. I mean, the worst Madden.
Madden game?
He was horrible the next year. He was cut the next year following. He just, you know, Madden cover, if they get hurt, you know, they typically come back and maybe they're good again. But he was never good.
He was irrelevant right after that.
First season. Yeah, he was miserable that first season. And never had a season that came close to half of what his Madden season was.
What team is he on right now?
Peyton Hillis last I saw was on the Giants, I think. And that's it. I haven't seen Peyton Hillis for a long time. I'm pretty positive. I don't think he's on a team.
I don't think he's on a team.
Nope.
Wow, the Madden curse hit him hard.
He's probably one of the hardest, other than Vic breaking his leg in the preseason.
Oh, that was tough.
I would say the Madden curse hit Peyton Hillis
hardest. Yeah, it did.
Oh. It got Eddie George decently, but he still rushed for a good amount of yards.
He still had a pretty solid career early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Vince Young, it hit kind of hard.
Yeah, it did dramatically.
We were talking about RG.
Palomalu maybe a little bit.
He hurt his knee.
He hurt his knee.
I said we were talking about RG3 earlier. It was almost like he was on Madden. With what happened with him. But, yeah, I would say Peyton Hillis. What about you? Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I remember when they announced that Peyton Hillis was the cover athlete. I was like, what? Really?
Okay, I guess.
Like, okay, like, is this a joke or is this like a fake cover? Like, I forgot.
Which come out every
year. Was that the first year when it was a fan vote? I know it was one of the first years it was a fan vote, but I'm not sure if it was the first year. Was it the first year?
I don't know who would do that.
No, because I remember he was voted to be on that
cover. I think Breeze was the first year.
Really? Was it Breeze? Okay.
But that was 11 anyway.
That was 11. Okay, so after. Okay.
It was
I forgot who he beat out to.
If he was on it, I don't know.
No, Peyton Hillis. I forgot.
A lot of fans had to chip in on that one.
A lot of Cleveland fans.
That's what I mean.
Because the year before that, he was a stud, Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
He was on my fantasy team, picked him off the waiver wire. Great fantasy pick of the year.
No one was going to draft him.
And then after that, I didn't even touch him because I knew he was going to have a year. But, yeah, seriously, like, come on, son.
I
like the Gronkowski's on the cover because he's actually the first tight end. First tight end to be on the cover.
No, you didn't know that. Quarterbacks, receivers, running backs.
Yes.
Only first one linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's usually the premier guys. I don't know. I like it. I mean, I'm very happy to play.
Yeah.
I'm very
excited. And I can't wait to come. I actually haven't played. I'm not into Madden a lot like I used to because to me it's like the same every year, but whatever.
It's different for me because I get new players.
That is true. I like that part.
I like it, man. But that's going to do it for our show today.
All right, well, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Comcast Football Podcast. Visit us on iTunes for new episodes each week. You can also find us at jsmcpodcast.com, as well as on Twitter at gsmc_football, and on Facebook at the Golden State Media Comcast Football Podcast. As always, I am Jeremiah.
And I am Alex. Alex, that's me. That's my name's funny. I don't know if somebody knew
that. All right.
I'm Alex.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
Check you guys next week.
Catch you on the flippity flip.
Catch you on the flippity flip.